Hello, everybody. Welcome to Comedy Film Nerds, episode 260.
It's a lot of episodes.
It is. That's, how many is that? That's.
And we're not even counting them all. I mean, if you add spoiler eps and special ones,
That's a lot. We're over, are we close to 300?
We're over 600, yeah. If you add them all up and count them twice.
Yeah, incorrectly. If your math sucks, then yeah, we're at 1,000. We need to start making numbers up.
Yeah, we've made a million episodes.
Sure. Welcome to episode a million, guys. This is a big, big year for us. We've been doing this for 70 years.
We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about Predestination, but guess what? We're going to do a spoiler ep on Predestination.
Yes, it has to happen.
And we're going to be doing that tomorrow. And Cinderella, we're going to talk about a movie we haven't talked about yet, Tank Girl.
Tank Girl, the Lori Petty classic. We just have decided we really need to, we just decided this is a film we need to talk about.
And some a real odd assortment of films coming out this week, too. We're going to be talking about Insurgent, The Gunman, and Kumiko, The Treasure Hunter.
Yeah. Divergent Insurgent?
Yes.
The Urgency?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody caught that. Nobody caught the movies called Divergent Insurgent. Nobody anywhere at any level of this film went, hey, maybe it's too many names that sound alike.
Electric Insurgeroo.
Just like it makes Divergent Insurgent. Like it sounds like a joke.
Yeah. You know, it is. I saw the first one.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like when you can't you can't remember the name of something and you're like, what are those Divergent Insurgent films? Or what are the, you know what I mean? It's like, no, that's not the name.
Divergent, we want Hunger Games money.
Yeah. That would make more sense than calling it Divergent Insurgent. It's not called the Hunger Munger Games.
Yeah.
Hunger Munger.
But a spinoff could be.
Hunger Games Flames. Yeah. Munger.
Part three.
Divergent Insurgent.
Yeah, so we'll be getting into that as well.
Jesus. All right, so we got some good stuff. So I want to thank everybody. I did another weekend of these Comics on Duty tours through the beautiful North Dakota in Grand Forks Air Force Base.
Did you get some snow?
No, it was in the 50s there, and people were running around in bikinis. They were losing their shit in North Dakota. And then we did the Minot Air Force Base in Minot as well, and I was on the road with Gary Brightwell, Danny Viapondo, and Paul Ogata. Paul, I've never worked with before. It was a fun, and so anybody who came out to those shows on those bases was a lot of fun. And thank you to everybody. They showed us around at Grand Forks. We saw a drone. We're not allowed to call it that. It's called an whatever, the military won't call it drones. They got to call it unaccompanied minor or whatever.
Unaccompanied minor? Is that what it is? Yes. They're calling them children?
Yeah.
Bomb children?
Bomb children. they took us to the fire department, which is cool. I got to ride in a fire truck, in an Air Force fire truck. And then they did that thing where they had those dogs, trained security dogs, so they put a guy in one of those big foam suits and they told him run, and then this dog jumps on him, which was awesome. Learned some great stuff about dogs. I didn't know this. Dogs are incapable of love. They only know how to bond. So when you think, oh, my dog loves me, no, he or she is just bonding with you, because dogs bond, they're pack animals, so it's a survival instinct to bond with the strongest person.
So what you're saying is dog owners are incapable of love.
Yeah, they're weirdos. I just triggered 5,000 emails. I didn't know. He goes, yeah, they're incapable of love. He goes, so like if you... and Paul...
Now,
and,
it's funny that the military guys that are training them to attack are saying that. That they're incapable of love.
Yeah, okay. Now you sound like a wingnut dog owner. I think this is things called science, Christopher. Because they are...
Is love science?
Is love science. Because here's the thing, and he's like, if you stopped feeding your dog and someone else did, the dog is going to go to that person. And they're not going to...
Well, I know for sure a cat would do that.
Cats don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So that was fascinating. And he was saying all of their he also said that it's you know, the can't train an old dog new tricks. Mm-hmm. That's not true. Mm-hmm. He goes, you can, because he was talking about dogs that have been to like Iraq and have, you know, they're like, if a traumatic event, this indoor field we were on, he goes, if a traumatic event happened in this area, a dog would just sense memory of be afraid to come back to this area, but you could then train it through high rewards and stuff that it would get past it and could be okay with that.
So I guess what you're saying is that Turner and Hooch was bullshit.
No, yeah. Turner and Hooch was hard science. So great. I'm glad everything I said meant nothing to you, Chris, and all you did was say stupid things in response to it. So I learned a lot at these military bases, and
oh, about bomb babies,
bomb babies, and dogs that the military is trained not to love.
Yeah. That was the takeaway.
That was the takeaway. So that was funny because Paulo Gatta and Danny Viapondo are both dog owners, and afterwards mm-hmm. they were like, "Oh man, I thought my dogs really loved me," and I was like, "Nope, you've just feed them.
Put on a suit and have them chase you.
Yeah, they'll come at you hard. Have your neighbor start feeding them. They won't care about you at all." So thank you to everybody that came out with that. That was a lot of fun. How about we meet our guest?
We should.
First-time guest.
Yes.
It's a comic I've worked with several times. She actually just did the show I headlined last month at the Hollywood Improv. She was the MC on it. Very funny.
And great that she filled in last minute for us, too.
Yeah, we've had some weird last-minute stuff happening with the guests. But here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Helen Hall.
Hi.
How you doing?
Thanks for having me. No, that was, I was drinking it all in. I was like, oh my God. I was sitting here quietly going, dogs don't love me.
Are you a dog owner?
I'm not. But I have Lassie fantasies. You know, I'm like, everybody, all these little four-legged pooches love me. No.
No, it's just a survival
technique. No, they just think you have food.
Yeah, that's how they survive. if they can't dominate you, then they bond with the person that is more dominant than them.
That actually makes me have more respect for their intelligence and insidiousness. For dogs.
I think there's...
their insidiousness. Your dog is insidious.
On the movie poster. They're still better than cats, though. Cats will stab you and then eat you.
Yeah.
Like, while looking you in the eyes.
Only if it's in their best interest. That's...
Yeah. Yeah. If killing you isn't going to further their game,
yeah, it's other than, you know.
I feel
every
cat is just plotting everyone's death just silently in the corner. Like, I'm
the only thing
death.
Stopping that happening is who's going to feed me.
Right. I would sleep on your face, but
you know how to work the can opener.
And I don't. If they knew how to work, don't ever let your cat learn how to use a can opener.
Nope. Yeah,
then you're done.
It's over.
Then you're dead.
It's over.
Yeah. You're no longer needed.
The meat cleaver is suddenly missing.
Yeah.
You're like, where's the meat cleaver? Ah! Ow!
I knew it! Meow, 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 meow! So, Helen, you are, I think the first time I met you, you were still in New York, maybe?
Yeah. I was doing stand-up in New York. I was there for 7 years before I moved to LA.
Are you from New York?
I'm from New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you started doing stand-up in Manhattan and
I
all
did,
that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I took a class at Caroline's.
Nice.
Seriously, that's how I started. I was like, I took a class. Hey, guys, I'm taking stand-up class. There's this, like, fun thing called stand-up, and they teach you how to do it, which is hilarious, you know, in retrospect. But I didn't know anything about stand-up.
What got you started?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I didn't have, like, my parents don't speak English, so it's not like they were playing stand-up records in my house. Like, and I literally had no...
Maybe they were and you didn't know.
That's true. I was like, what's going on in there? What are you guys howling about in there, huh? What's so funny in there? Yeah, so I didn't know anything. I didn't know it was a job you could do that people would pay you money for. Like, right. I didn't know any of that.
Sometimes,
Yes.
Once in a while, if you don't mess it up.
Yeah.
All right, here's your $8.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I took a class, and that was really like my entree to stand up. And I always feel like I'm playing catch up, because a lot of comics are, you know, rabid comedy fans before they even start, and I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about right now. And they're like, you know that special that Kenison did, that blah, blah. I'm like, I know.
I never saw that.
And I know.
Who's Steve Martin?
Yeah.
Who's this rich like Rick Pryor? Yeah. Who is he?
Yeah, I swear to God, I feel like half of my life is like, okay, so this Pryor character.
So have you like been gone back and like watched all these old specials or listened to them, or are you just like, nah? Are you just like a cold, heartless dog or cat that's just waiting for your insidious moment to attack?
If this is not feeding me, forget it.
Did Sam Kinison's album put food on the table? No,
I don't think so.
I don't care.
Then I kick it. I flip the table.
Yeah, of course.
Here's what absolutely. I think of you, Kinison. But it's kind of cool because, you know, you meet people who've been in the business for so long and they have these crazy stories. Like, I just had dinner with a booker who was telling me this crazy story about Daryl Hammond. Ooh. And Billy Gardell back in the day, you know, and just when they were like little kids and they were all making like $100 a piece. And I was like, and they were getting to beer brawls, but bar brawls, you know, give me the money, bar owner that promised me $50.
Fighting with the club owner. Yeah. I have a bunch of those stories. I got into a fist fight with a guy in Green Bay who was drunk.
Didn't want to pay you.
He didn't want to pay me.
Are you serious?
And he kept going, I could buy and sell you, fella. He kept saying that. God. And it was notorious that he owned this club with his sons and they all fought and didn't like each other. And he was at a wedding drinking and didn't trust his sons and the manager to pay me. And I was like wanting to drive back. The shows were over. And I was like, I want to drive back to Chicago tonight. It's only a 3-hour drive. Like, I want to get this done. And they were like, we won't pay you. I'm like, well, when is he coming back? I don't know. I'm like, well, I got to get paid. So he comes back and he's all mad at me. And I was like, comes into the bar. I'm not happy with you, fella. And I was like, hey, I'm so sorry. I was nice until I got the cash in my hand. And then he pays me. And I said, fuck you. I'm never working your club again. He's like, I'll buy and sell you, fella. And I said, your club's going to be closed in a year. This is as we're walking out. And he's walking behind me. And I'm like, if he puts his hands on me,
it's
I'm
going
to drop this old clown. And he just kept, and he's all drunk and Wisconsin-y and blah, blah, blah. And then he kept saying, I'm going to buy and sell you, fella. And I said, your club's going to be closed in a year. And then we got down and they turned the comedy club into like a nightclub after that. And I said,
that always works.
That always works. Weird. I'm still in the business and that club closed 14 months later. So I was a little off. Yeah, I was off by
couple months.
Couple months off. And then I said, so the whole bar could hear, I said, fuck you, your sons hate you.
Wow. And the whole bar's like...
And I got my car and drove home.
Yeah. And he went looked back.
Never looked back. And that was the last time I played Green Bay, which I think was in 94, 95. And I remember my brother, I told him that story. He's like, oh, watch out. Your hothead's going to get you in trouble. And I was like, man, how many times have you had to fight for your fucking paycheck? Shut up. I didn't handle this the wrong way. This guy didn't want to pay me. Anyway.
I love that he's drunk in Wisconsin-y.
Yeah. Just like, he's gay.
Wisconsin-y.
Because when you would perform in Wisconsin, it's still the case, but if you said, you would just go on stage and say, especially in the 90s, and just say, so I drove up from Chicago. The Bears suck.
Oh, yeah.
And you just be like, I'm not bringing up football. I remember in the middle of my set, I wasn't talking about football or anything. Fuck Ditka. They hated Mike Ditka. And I'm like, good, man.
I wanted you to know
about
it.
Sports fans are very passionate.
Oh, I wanted you to know about it.
I wrote a whole bit back then about these millionaire athletes don't give a shit about you and me.
No, they don't.
And I was like, do you think Brett Favre is in the huddle going, we got to win this for Steve and Minocqua? Yeah.
Watching it at a bar with a TV that can barely get in focus.
Yeah. Yes. So
Minocqua is good.
So let's talk about some movies.
Yes, Helen, those are the stories. Yes.
I want to talk about this movie, Cinderella, the entire family. We want to see this movie. And this is the big... another one of the big rollout of Disney movies where they're live actioning a lot of their animated classics. And, you know, all four of us went to see it. And then we took another little girl with us. So Bella had a friend as we were watching the movie, and they were like,
"It's on."
Yeah, they were like talking and kind of giggling through the movie. And I'm thinking, I'm sitting next to them going, "They are distracting me. I cannot watch this movie." And then I had to stop myself. I'm like, "Do I care if I'm watching this movie?" It's not like American Sniper.
Right.
It's you know, it's Cinderella.
You should take your kids to that.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, they won't talk through that. I can guarantee it.
You look over and they're like, "Daddy!"
Yeah. Kids act bad. Daddy.
Yeah.
Daddy's gonna give a grenade and tell you to blow up a tank.
So
it's a punishment.
Yeah. So I'm watching this movie, and I'll tell you, I'll give Disney a lot of credit here. They did not skimp. They really, they made this a movie like, we're going to take
full
this
on
seriously.
Production value.
Full on production.
Yeah.
You've got huge production value, but also behind the camera, too. Kenneth Branagh directed it. Chris Weitz wrote it. You've got some decent acting in there, and Hilary Bonham Carter is definitely... full on kind of, not full on, but she's definitely kind of like that the crazy fairy godmother. And then, and you've got, Kate Blanchett as the
I love her
wicked stepmother.
Ooh,
and
she's good.
Here's the thing about it too. And this is what I was really happy to see is like, she clearly enjoyed this role.
Right.
Like she is like, she played it very wicked, wickedy and, but also campy. And, one of the things the movie tried to do is kind of give each character a little more depth, and it's sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. The thing about this movie is it didn't do anything wrong, but it's certainly not going to surprise you any time. You know, there's no. I remember I was looking at IMDb just in the movie, and then like you know how like people review the movie underneath, and one of them said spoiler warning. Like really. Cinderella has a spoiler warning on it.
What happens?
Yeah,
there's a glass slipper.
Yeah.
What happens at midnight? What happens?
So it was it was a good kids movie. I guess it's honestly I was a little bored just because of the nature of what it was. It was just basically a big lavish live action retelling. It wasn't like Maleficent where it kind of told the story from like you know the villain's perspective. This was pretty much.
Very
scene by scene, straightforward.
Yeah.
This is a live action telling of the Cinderella story, but based on the animated classic that Disney did. So.
Oh,
so let me ask you
was
this.
There a lot of bippity boppity booing?
It was, there was some.
What's
references?
The live action version of bippity boppity boo?
There were some references to bippiting and booing. Like you've got the CG mice, you've got a lot of that.
Really?
Stuff.
Yeah, CGI mice. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
You know, you've got like the animals when they turn into the coachman and the footman and all that stuff. You have that just in a live action version.
Is this, let me ask you this because I'm just looking at Kenneth Branagh's directing list and he's done so much. I mean, obviously he's done a lot of Shakespeare, but then, you know, he's got this film, he's got Thor, he's got Jack Ryan. So,
oh, I didn't know he directed that.
Yeah. It's Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, you know, and
Kenneth Branagh is a very varied and wide and varied director who has actually been around for longer than you think.
Oh yeah, he directed Henry V, Dead Again, which was like a really fascinating movie about karma and all this stuff
and past lives.
Past lives. Mm-hmm. So when you look at this and kind of what you're saying, my question is, it seems like he's skilled at getting the genre correct?
Yes, no question.
Because I love Thor, and when I saw he directed, I was like, what?
Yeah, he's definitely gets, especially when you have a guy who pretty much, his bread and butter was Shakespeare coming up. And then you have, basically, you have a fairy tale period piece. So you have all that big, lavish, epic production design and costumes and scale. And so he was actually a good choice for this movie. Now, I will recommend to people, go back and watch his old movies. Like when he first came on the scene with Henry V, it's an amazing film. And also people forget too, he's an actor too. I mean,
great.
He starred in that movie as well as directing it. And it's absolutely fantastic.
Well, same with Dead Again too. Like that was this, he plays an American, like I remember I saw that when Dead Again came out, I didn't know he was English.
Right.
You know? And you know, because a lot of times, you know, they
that was like his big follow up from Shakespeare. And It was a little rocky, like going from Henry V to Dead Again.
Right.
Although I will say there is a great cameo by Robin Williams in that movie.
Oh, really?
Check out Dead Again. Yeah.
Robin Williams is in that, and also, you know, it was one of those things, and you still see this, you know, they always Hollywood loves to hire a lot of Brits, and sometimes it's so obvious. I mean, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler made fun of this in the Golden Globes, how they always do that hard R. They over R things when they're playing their American accent, you know?
I saw Hugh Grant in a movie once trying to play American. It was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, he cannot...
Not everyone can pull it off.
No, he could not pull it off to save his life. Like, I bet if I had, like, put a loaded pistol to his head and was like, hard R, he'd be like, oh, no!
My life is over.
Suck it.
So this movie, it's definitely, like I said, it's what I really liked about it was the attention to detail and the fact that no one walked through it. You could tell that everyone wanted to make this kind of cool and interesting and as almost like a homage to the source material, which not only the classic fairy tale, but also the animated Disney film. Now, there was a couple interesting costume choices. The men were in ballet pants. So there was a lot of bulging throughout the
Really?
I heard
that they were forced to wear these crazy jock strap things because to prevent the bulging.
Well, you know what that,
because it's
that
a kid's movie.
You know what happens when that happens? You have a larger bulge after that because you're shoving all this extra clothing down. But it was like a weird thing because it was almost like distracting. Like all these great lavish costumes.
A lot of junk. And, there was a lot of junk in your face.
Like, oh, wait, because the camera kind of lingered on.
Kenny, what do you got going on?
Yeah, yeah. A couple weird scenes like
He's
that. Like
isn't
I don't know
it beautiful?
If there was some kind of... I'd love to see the internal dialogue, you know, the internal studio dialogue of those shots. I'm like, well, can we just CG the bulges out or something? No, it's fine. Just leave it. And then secretly, there's another note that goes, CG, make all the bulges bigger. In the computer graphics.
No, I did hear an interview with the boy who plays the prince saying that he had to stand in a room full of Disney executives wearing... like four versions of like jock strap plus spandex, two jock straps plus two layers of spandex. Like they had to go through all these configurations, and he's like just modeling in this room for these Disney execs.
They're all looking at
like,
his jive out there.
And what's
how odd, much junk is too much junk?
What's odd after hearing that story is what they actually went with in the movie. Like I'm sure there was a better version of those.
How weird is that?
It was very weird.
It was a little weird. Like, you know, just how about, you know, art pantaloons? Find something else. But it didn't have to be ballet pants.
Ballet pants is pretty aggressive. Yeah.
How about slacks?
Yeah, slacks would be good.
Dockers sitting
up. Slacks back then, right?
So
we think. Me thinks.
Me thinks Dolph had dockers. Casual business wear.
Now, I do like the direction that Disney is going with remaking some of these live-action films. I hope they start to get away from the animated fairy tales. I know we're going to get Beauty and the Beast next, a live-action version. There's probably going to be a Snow White somewhere in development. I'm sure that will come out, too.
Yeah.
But concentrate on some of the classics and redo some of those. Like, I'd like to see an updated Treasure Island or an updated
Swiss
Family Robinson or a... 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh, and that's so interesting that you say that because it's all like things that boys would like versus things girls would like.
What would you like to see?
Because I was like, Treasure Island. There's no princess in that. I mean, come on. But it is interesting that all the ones that are making remakes are like girl tailored.
They're all girl stories.
They're all girl stories. Mm-hmm. Like Sleeping Beauty, Snow White. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see how if you were a boy, you'd be like, come on. What about me, man?
Yeah. Someone better have a car or a gun.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Let's do this.
Yeah, come on, giant squids. Let's go.
I love that movie.
It's great. You're a little boy.
Yeah, I have a little boy.
Yeah.
And Treasure Island was so good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Little boy fighting squids.
Yep. So that's it's like I said, Cinderella. It's not a bad movie. Don't look for it to surprise you or any retelling of the tale. It is really a classic retelling of the story. And kids will definitely enjoy it. Kids. my son was a little bored.
Of course. okay, let's get into this.
And now. Bomb children. Well, also
so
because take your drones to this movie.
Great, great drone film, guys. All right, so there's not much in the theaters right now, so that's why. So, so Helen, you saw, went back and revisited our a classic, Lori Petty vehicle, Tank Girl.
I saw that it had popped up on Netflix, and I was like, "Ooh, hell yeah!" I got a little bit of a lady boner. I'm
lady bone,
little lady bone. Because when was the last time you saw Tank Girl?
1995, when it came out.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
Or And it's one of those things, you're flipping through the channels, and you go, Tank, what? At 2 in the morning in some hotel room, like it's on some weird channel.
She likes tanks.
1995, Lori Petty, and of course, Ice-T. Naomi Watts is in it. Based on the British cult comic strip, our tank-riding anti-hero and fights a megacorporation which controls the world's water supply. Does it hold up, Helen?
I'm sad to report, no. It doesn't hold up.
Because it's the future, right?
I remember watching it when I was in high school. And, wait, was I in high school? Yeah, I was in high school. And thinking, oh my God, she's the coolest chick ever. And she's like so badass and she doesn't care. And she like kicks boys in the crotch and they double over. Because apparently that hurts. And I remember thinking, what a badass. And then I recently watched it. And that was probably the first time I had seen it since I saw it in high school. And I was like, no, it doesn't. It's like the bad guys are too, everything's too one note. Like the hot guy's too hot, the bad guy's too bad. She's too like, hey, I'm really different and funky and weird. There's too much of that.
That was her bread and butter, though. That was every part she was in. I mean, of course, I love her in Point Blank as the surfer. She's great in that. But anyway, so what... I barely remember.
Lori Petty. God, whatever happened to her?
She lives in Venice. She's an artist.
Really?
Yeah, I see her around Venice
you
all the
do?
Time. Oh, yeah, she's paints.
And she doesn't act anymore?
No way.
She just
paint
is like.
Tanks?
I hope. I hope she's just, all she's great. Doing is painting.
Painting stuff from her old movie.
Yeah, tanks. And because this, if I remember, it takes place in the future.
In the future. It's a dystopian future, and it's sort of Mad Max-y. Everything's dry. There's no water. And this evil corporation, the Water and Power Department, they control all the water. And then this Lori Petty is part of this gang of rebels that dip their own water. Like they, nice. Oh yeah, they're on a water stealing program, and they're badasses in the desert. And then the corporation comes and gets them.
But it's not really a comedy. It has comedic moments.
Yeah, it's not a comedy. It's supposed to be an action
drama that has a sense of humor to it.
Yeah, a little like a funny moment. Not even a lot of funny moments, I would say. Like a small sprinkling, like a small dash of funny moments. But it's supposed to be an action film, like a thriller, I guess. Because there's this bad guy, and he's very, very bad, and he's super scary.
Is it Malcolm McDowell?
Malcolm McDowell.
And Ice-T is part of the ragtag group of post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I didn't watch the whole way through.
Why?
Because I was like, oh, Tank Girl. I was a little sad.
That you were expecting this to be like, this would be great.
Blown away, yeah. Like, taken back to my high school days, being like, oh my God, Lori Petty, yeah! And then I just couldn't make it through. And I was surprised Naomi Watts plays her mousy little sidekick. And I was like, that's Naomi Watts.
Yeah. You've got Ann Cusack. You've got Iggy Pop in this.
Of course, Iggy Pop is in it.
And of course, James Hong, he's been the bad guy
in everything.
On at least once a season on Hawaii Five-0. Mr. Garrett, this is a respectable business. Like every.
That's every show.
That's every, yeah, that's everything he's ever done. This is a respectable business, Mr. Garrett. All right, so dang, I was so fired up to go revisit Tank Girl, but you're telling me hashtag leave
it is kind of like a fun for a minute. It's like, oh, my youth, my childhood. Yeah, there's definitely a little nostalgia, but then 5 minutes in, you're like, all right.
This is an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The director, yeah, I checked her IMDb. She has done since then just all TV. She's just done a bunch of TV shows.
Oh, that's interesting. It was a female director. That's cool.
Yeah.
So we also saw Predestination, and we are going to get into this in the spoiler app, but we will say, like Tom Merritt said in the last episode, it's a really good mind-bendy sci-fi thriller.
I really liked it. It's available. I rented it through iTunes, I think, for, I don't know, $5.
It was $5 on Time Warner Cable.
The high-def version, mm-hmm. which that was cool. Especially like this time of year, if there's not a lot in theaters, it's really
right,
cool.
You can catch up on these movies.
Catch up on these movies that this didn't get a theatrical release at all.
Oh.
Maybe in the States, but...
And I don't think it got one lick of promotion.
No, not at all.
Literally, we found out about it from our fans, mm-hmm. letting us know that this Australian film is coming. It's on demand. Check it out.
They did it. The Spierig brothers, Michael and Peter Spierig, directed this, and they also wrote it. The thing that was cool about it, it's an Australian movie. It's Australian money. They shot it in Australia, but it takes place mainly in New York.
New York, yeah.
And they did a good job with that. I was looking very hard.
I didn't hear one Australian accent in the film.
Uh-uh.
Wow.
And like the bar that a fair amount is, I was looking around that bar closely for like a boomerang.
Yeah, or a Joey.
Like a cricket team, something like that. You know what I mean? Like Joey. I was like, I want to make sure they got that part right. And they did a really good job.
A koala climbing the wall.
Something. Yeah. Something is an Aussie Rules football banner, like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? The North Melbourne Kangaroos or something.
Somebody's
like,
looking out the window and sees the Opera House.
Yes, something. Yeah, there's some shot of something like that. They're on the wrong side of the road or anything. But no, they did a really good job, and we'll get into it in the spoiler ep. I love time travel, and this movie does a great job of good time travel movies ask really great questions and answer them in a really interesting way. And that's what I thought this movie did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it did. I mean, I enjoyed it as well. One of the things I liked about it, too, is it really felt like the type of science fiction film, like, it felt like a festival science fiction film. Like, you go to a film festival, and this is the kind of sci-fi you see there, because it's not a big studio movie. Mm-hmm. It's not a giant budget. It doesn't have these giant, huge set pieces with spaceships and robots mm-hmm. running around. It's a science fiction movie. Time travel, make no mistake about it, but it's one of those really cool, indie, low-budget, small in production but big in ideas, that kind of movie.
Yeah,
and that's really what it feels like.
Like Primer.
Exactly, this
movie did really well last year at South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. And I think you bring up an interesting point, because had this movie, if they would have had a bigger budget and spent more on the technology of the time travel, I think that would have gotten in the way of this film.
And the big, if you had like more sweeping set pieces and explosions and things like that, I agree.
It would have taken away from the
small scale scope of this, basically a smaller story told against a larger backdrop.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I agree.
I really loved it. And I can't, anyone out there listening, you know,
check it out
because these cool, we love talking about cool movies like this, because if we can help a film like this get a little traction, it's good, and these filmmakers are interesting. Ethan Hawke does a great mm-hmm. job, and
is he in it?
Yeah,
he stars
in
it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And Sarah Snook
does an amazing job.
God, she's good. She mm-hmm. has to play a bunch of different
characters
basically, and
they never look the same.
They never look the same.
They never act the same. It's an amazing
role. She plays a dude in half of it, right? Is that a big spoiler that I just...
Spoiler. Mark down the time code.
Was that a spoiler? I don't think that was a spoiler.
I don't think so, because that was in the trailer.
Oh, all right.
That
then
was in the trailer
If it's
I saw.
In the trailer, then no.
Yeah. I don't think that's a spoiler.
All right. Done.
But
I'm sold. Go back in time.
Fix it.
But it was really cool, and you guys check it out. You can rent the low def version for $4, I think. High def is $5.
Spend the other buck and get the high def.
Yeah. It was worth it. I mean, I did the whole thing last night. I rented it. I turned the lights out mm-hmm. in my apartment and just watched it. And it's really
scary.
It's really scary. Well, not scary, but it's cinematically, they do a lot. The frames are are beautiful. It's the shot composition is amazing.
It hooks you in. You want to like keep watching. Like, how is this going?
And there's times in the beginning where the pace is a little slow, but I never.
And you also don't know what's going on. That's deliberate at the beginning. Like, how's this all going to piece together? And
it's weird. And but it keeps you intrigued. It kept me intrigued at least. Like the slow pace in the beginning, I was like, oh, all right.
Well, I'm sold with the Ethan Hawke bit because he's just so good.
He is.
Who knew that he's become like this great sci-fi anchor dude, you know? Like, he was just so good in, what was that vampire movie he was in that was so great?
Oh, it was these guys directed
Night
it.
Something.
Oh, you're talking about Daywalkers.
Daybreakers.
He did it again. Yeah,
Daywalkers. Daybreakers.
Well, these guys directed it.
Oh, they did. I definitely will see it. I loved Daybreakers.
Yeah, then,
I figured out why we keep saying Daywalker. That was the name that they gave
Blade.
Blade, yeah.
Blade was a daywalker. He could be in both worlds. So yeah, Daybreakers. It's the same people that directed this.
Cool.
Spear Brothers. So if you like Ethan Hawke and like what these guys have done, it's and you like time travel and Sarah Snook, man,
fantastic.
Sold.
We actually have a sponsor for this episode.
Oh, snap!
That, this episode is brought to you by Audible.com. And we're excited to have Audible back as a sponsor because what it means, too, is like you guys get some free stuff. If you guys sign up, you can get a free audiobook. You can go to audiblepodcast.com/CFN. Now, we're also going to have a link from our homepage, too. So you can just go to our homepage and click right to that landing page. You can get a free audiobook of your choice with a sign-up. I believe it's 30 days.
30-day trial.
Yes, 30-day trial. Free audiobook, 30-day trial by signing up. audiblepodcast.com/CFN. Now, I want to talk to you guys about Audible a little bit because what I really like is that they keep expanding their selections. Like, you could get the audiobooks of, like, American Sniper right now, Unbroken, and Gone Girl. And sometimes they're read by the author, and sometimes they're not. Like, there's an amazing book called Ready Player One that's, like, it's a science fiction book, but it also is a retro book, and it's for people who grew up in the 80s, so it's all references to, like, asteroids and war games and, like, all the stuff we grew up with. And Will Wheaton reads it. So that's, like,
wow. Yeah, that's so cool.
Perfect. So,
part of it is, for me, why I like... Helen's getting a phone call. one of the things that I like about about it's not just the books on tape, it's who they cast to read is sort of part of the whole process because it's not just getting a book on tape. I kind of feel like I'm getting a bigger performance.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's what I like about this.
In fact, they've taken it one step further. Neil Gaiman now is producing audiobooks. Like, there's a whole Neil Gaiman section at Audible right now where he picks a book that he didn't write, and he picks who he wants to read it. So he's actually producing the audio versions of these books. In fact, some of them where it's just a narrator that reads the book, and other ones are actual, like, full cast, like Felicia Day. And you've got like five or six actors that are actually reading this one.
Oh, wow. Book. It's like a radio play.
Yeah. It's like exactly.
That's
so
awesome. That, yeah. That really takes cool. An audiobook so to the next level.
Right.
And so, guys, and the thing is, man, it's free. If you get a free audiobook for 30 days, if you go to audiblepodcast.com/CFN.
So it's a free audiobook and 30-day trial today by signing up. And one of the things we want to also mention before we. Finish this ad read is that a lot of people ask, like, well, how can we support the show? And this is actually one of the ways you can support the show. Like, you know, support the advertisers that actually advertise on the show, because that's a great way to help the show as well. It's not just listening to that. If you actually go to Audible and sign up, that helps the show.
Right, because when you use these coupon codes, guys, that's how
it's
they
all
track.
Tracked. It's all tracked.
They track everything. So if they're spending money on this show for ad reads and you guys are – it's stuff you actually want to get, and this is like, you know, you get a free audiobook. At the very least, just go get a free audiobook. It doesn't cost you anything.
No, and you can try out the service.
Try out the service and use our coupon code. That's literally a free way for you to help the show.
Yes.
So we really appreciate it, guys.
So remember, it's audiblepodcast.com/CFN, and we'd like to thank Audible for sponsoring this podcast and Amazon Company.
Boom. So let's get into now. We were just talking about all this sci-fi stuff. So Helen, That's sort of your favorite genre.
Yeah, it's my favorite genre. But it, but the older stuff, you know, like Blade Runner.
Yes.
Alien.
So everything they're going to make a sequel to.
Terminator. Terminators 1 through yep, one. 3. Yeah. Uh-huh.
They're all new versions are coming out.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this about Blade Runner. Because we've talked about it a little bit on the show. It's been a while, but.
How many versions now? 8 they have for Blade Runner?
What do you mean?
The different Blade Runner, it's like the original cut, director's cut, sure. Yeah. Like remixed, and the voiceover, non-voiceover.
Well, just as a general, do you have a preference in terms of the Decker voiceover with or without the film? Like, does it matter?
No, I don't like the voiceover at all.
Really?
Yeah. Why? I think I like the director's cut without the voiceover because I think the voiceover says a lot of really obvious things. Like, I get it. Uh-huh. Like, I'm not a dummy. I don't need you to explain this to me, Deckard.
Is Deckard a replicant?
I think so.
Yes, he is.
Right?
Yeah.
He has to be.
Ridley Scott actually, he came out finally in an interview and said, yeah, he is. And they leave little clues throughout the film. Like, they say how many of them got loose. It was 4, but they only catch 3. Like, there's little things in the movie like that kind of points to it. Although what's weird is, like, they're making a sequel and Harrison Ford's going to play Deckard again. So
he is? I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I don't know if they would have aged, you know, if he was a rep. So I don't know how they're going to handle that.
I don't know how I feel about that.
They're going to retcon it. It's like, no, he really wasn't.
But what other, of the Alien movies, what's your favorite?
The first one.
The very first one.
Yeah. The second one's a good runner-up, but they're so different.
They're two different films.
They're completely different films, and you can tell the flavor of, you know, that the director of each film brings to it.
You've got the second middle one
is very James Cameron.
In the middle is sci-fi. The first one goes sci-fi hard. The second one goes sci-fi action.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really what.
Yeah.
Sci-fi anchors it, but you're right. They're two. Well, you can also.
It's a little bit what we're Predestination. It's like the first Alien was a little lower budget.
Right.
So they you know, and like you said, it was more horror.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the second one was like, okay, big budget.
Yeah, guns, explosions, the whole nine. Yeah.
Cameron did the same thing with Terminator. It was, it was a much lower budget and smaller movie than Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Just blew up.
Yeah. And I love both, but for different, it depends on what mood I am. But I like to go a little more. I think I'm more like pure sci-fi, so
sure.
I like that first.
What are some of the other?
Sometimes you're feeling Point Break. Sometimes you're feeling Tank Girl. I get it.
I'm always feeling Point Break.
Either way, there's a big tub of popcorn.
Is there any like newer sci-fi that's come out for you that you actually did sort of resonate with?
The newer sci-fi is less in the films and more in the TV stuff that's been coming out. Like, I just watched this crazy sci-fi series that's on Netflix right now. It's a British, it's a BBC production, I think, called Black Mirror. And it's like the Twilight Zone for modern technology. So it talks a lot about, like, you know, technology that's embedded in your skin and things like that. And oh, it's deliciously dark. It's so dark. Ooh, it's good.
So do you more of a dark dystopian type future?
I guess so, because that's sort
of... It's always more interesting.
Yeah, it is always. I mean, who wants a freaking happy future? That's not going to happen. Look at the world now. Like, we really think we're
going to... We know which way we're going.
We really think we're going to turn this ship around now? No, it's just going dark, bleak all the way. So, yeah, I guess I do resonate with that dystopian future.
What sci-fi story, be it film, book, whatever, would you like to see either made or remade today?
Let's see. Dark Crystal?
Krull?
I loved Krull.
You want to see Liam Neeson? Watch Krull.
Krull is pretty good. What's the one that...
I have a certain set of skills.
Back in Krull days?
Yeah, yeah. Can
Krull days. Taken Krull taken?
Yes, yes. I can make cottages.
What was the one with Dennis Quaid where he gets stranded? They're in like some intergalactic.
Louis Gossett Jr. plays the alien.
Yes. What was that one?
Enemy Mine.
Yes.
Enemy Mine.
Mm-hmm. Oh my my God, I feel like they should remake
Here's one I would love to see remade. Last Starfighter.
That was a really good
one. That is a good one. Yeah, that's a juicy one. Either one of those.
They both came out in the same era, roughly. Yeah. Enemy Mine. Oh, I want to look
Enemy Mine. That's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, because Louis Gossett Jr. was doing some weird, alien voice, which was...
And they both go...
It was like a Romeo and Juliet romance with aliens.
That's exactly what it was. And they're the only two people in the movie. I mean, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you know, Dennis Quaid is just giving it his all. I mean, he is, like, not holding back.
It's 1985. It was directed by Wolfgang Petersen.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Das Boot,
who did Troy, who did The Neverending Story, The Perfect Storm, and Enemy Mine, ladies and gentlemen. That's a, you know what? That's a really good
idea. Isn't that a good one?
That's a really good idea.
And just have him replay, because he's still in good shape, Dennis Quaid.
Mm-hmm.
What if they remade Repo Man? What would that look like?
I feel like it would go the way of RoboCop.
I think you're right.
Right? Like, it just would be, they've completely taken the soul out of it.
The more I think about this, back to Enemy Mine, the more I agree that should be remade.
How much did you love Enemy Mine? But it is very dated now.
It's dated, but if you updated it correctly, because the themes in it, they're battling each other, but then they have to work together.
Exactly.
So there is all this sort of race issue stuff that, you know, if you had a great screenwriter handle that today, you could do that great thing about science fiction, like really all of the issues we're facing in America and around the world with race and
very
religion
current.
And all this stuff, you could make it so, like, so powerful, I think. Enemy Mine, good choice.
Thank you.
Ooh,
thank
nice
you.
Work.
It's an oldie and a goodie.
Nice work, Helen. Way to go.
Your geek is showing.
Way to nerd it out. Nice nerd move. All right.
DVDs?
Let's go to DVDs.
Annie, I don't know anyone who saw this or wanted to see it.
Mm-mm.
And but even just from the trailer, the whole kind of concept of remaking this film was unbelievably flawed. And you could tell the people that made this film had no idea or understanding of the original material. And since my daughter played Annie in the play, I actually got a new... appreciation for the play. I never really liked it that much until I actually really got into it. And I realized the biggest flaw with the remake of this film is that Annie, the whole point of this, of the play and also of the original film, is the setting. You have a certain snapshot of time in American history where you've got a lot of people really struggling to survive. And you've got kids in orphanage and you've got, you know, the depression, the shadow of the depression on this story in this film. And if you take that out, you've pretty much gutted the whole point of the play and the, you know, and the film. This is, the setting was just as much a part of this story as any of the characters. So when you take that half of it out, well, now the soul of this entire project is gone.
Right.
So,
but this is the director that did Fired Up and Easy A.
Oh, well, there you go. So he really, I'm sure he got the source material.
Yeah, he's on board with it.
Yeah. Penguins of Madagascar. It's an interesting list. Exodus, Gods and Kings, Top 5, and Song in the Sea.
That is, there's something for everyone there.
I am very excited to see Song in the Sea. Now I could finally see this film. Because it was the one of the animated nominations for Best Picture.
Okay.
So, and it's also the same filmmakers that did Book of Kells. So it's got a very specific style to it.
Yep.
It's like, it's kind of mixed media a little bit.
It's
where
not
you've got,
Disney.
No, it's not Disney. You've got the 2D animation, but you also have kind of like the effects that kind of go with it.
Yeah.
So it looks really beautiful.
Let's go
and interesting.
Finally releasing
Pop-up
some
bookie.
Of the- Yeah. It's good that they're releasing some of these Oscar films finally, so everybody can get a chance to see them.
Yes.
All right, and then coming out this week,
Divergent Insurgent.
Divergent Insurgent.
The next one's going to be called Detergent.
I hope so.
It's squeaky clean.
It's time to clean up the bad guys.
Divergent Insurgent Detergent.
Divergent Insurgent Retergent.
Yes. I hope these are all products that they're selling.
Now, I did see the first film, and it was unbelievably boring. You have these decent actors and actresses trying their best to make unbelievably boring material compelling. They failed. It was one of those.
That's disappointing. Kate Winslet, she's one of the best.
And Shailene Woodley, they all. Yeah. Again, and nope, even
super boring.
This is a film I will watch on an international flight when I'm ready to go to sleep.
Yes, and it will serve its purpose. and very little happens through most of the film, and you're watching this and like, okay, basically, yeah, the tagline is "We want Hunger Games money." That's really the only reason these movies exist. And if you can even go back to, like, you know, this young adult dystopian future is rather large in young adult novels right now as well. So there's a million of these type of stories. So it's just a matter of which one gets bought, which one gets made. And a lot of them are a little interchangeable. Did I just see Maze Runner? No, I saw Divergent and Turgent. So is it the same? Yeah. No, is it, what's the difference?
Oh, it was Maze Runner Detergent.
Yeah, Maze Runner Detergent. What's the difference? So
it bubbles.
It does. It bubbles when you run the maze.
I'm still angry about Maze Runner.
Oh, Chris. I warned you, brother.
You were right.
I warned you so hard.
That one had a great trailer, though.
Yeah, I
was like, I saw the trailer and I was like, ooh.
And a great premise.
Yeah.
This was, it was like Cube meets Labyrinth.
Yes. Oh, ooh, I just got a lady boner thinking about that. Cube meets Labyrinth.
Yes.
Nerding out over here.
So now, here's the next movie out, The Gunman, which I have a feeling...
The Gunman Funman.
Yeah. I am really kind of looking forward to watching...
if Sean Penn wasn't in this, I would have no business even thinking about it. But now I got to see him.
I want to see
him. Because it's clearly a Liam Neeson vehicle.
That's all it is. It's the same people that did Taken.
They swapped out.
The Taken people went, all right... Liam's on Taken. Who else can we get to be the new another
this
Taken?
This is the script for Taken 4. We can't call it that. Let's just search and replace and get another actor.
Liam's busy fighting Ed Harris's kid.
I really want to see Sean Penn enthusiastically mumble through a film.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I want to see this movie. And
I think this is a movie I want to see with several friends and yell out at the screen and say dumb things like, gunman! Like, every time he shoots, someone go, the gunman!
I got a certain set of skills. I just came off an airplane and I don't know what's going where.
I was so upside down in my house because I spent 3 years in Haiti, so I got to do this film.
So
I went through a divorce.
Clean me out. Pretty much clean me out.
Not working.
Now I'm dating Charlize Theron. Man, she's expensive.
She's expensive. And I can't. I got to be on a set so I don't keep watching House of Cards advertisements.
I think three out of those five could be real quotes. I don't think anything.
I think five of five.
Could be all of them. Could be.
I didn't know they were dating.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he adopted her kid and everything.
Really?
Before they dated?
Serious.
Or after?
No.
Yeah.
Of course not. Why would you do that?
Wow.
Be a little weird. What's something Sean Penn would do, though?
That's true. He's Haitian? I'm down. I think he is. I think the kid's Haitian.
Yeah.
Can I save him? Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
And the next movie coming out, this is very limited release, Kumiko the Treasure Hunter. Ooh. Now, this is a very interesting premise.
Sounds kind of Asian.
You know, the lead is Asian. However, it's an American production.
Okay.
About a woman living in Tokyo. Who comes across a an old VHS tape of the movie Fargo, watches it, and thinks it's a treasure map, and goes and tries to dig up the money.
Are you serious?
I'm absolutely serious. I thought you were
joking. That
like
is
when you were like, she finds
film.
A VHS of Fargo. I was like, and then a woman comes out of the screen. Yeah. She has really long dark hair. And she goes, hey, I'm going to kill you.
This, David Zellner directed this. He did.
This sounds insane.
Kid Thing and Goliath. Yeah, this is going to
The trailer is insane.
It's either going to be great or horrible.
Right.
Well, the premise is very dodgy. Yes. Very dodgy.
It's definitely out there where it's like it's you're going to either have this execute brilliantly or it's going to fall flat on its face. days.
Yeah. So does she come to Fargo?
Yeah. Yeah. She comes to Minnesota and yeah, she and she searches for this treasure that she thinks is
Rinko,
underneath the wood chipped bodies.
Yeah.
You got to hope. Rinko Kikuchi is the lead, and
she sounds Asian.
She's, I believe, yes, she's definitely Asian.
Asian.
I think she was in 47 Ronin and Pacific Rim as the Asians.
Pretty Asian. That's pretty a very Asian girl, resume. Yep. Yep.
And Sayonara Robinson Crusoe. She was in that. And she was also in Shanghai.
This sounds, I mean, you couldn't get a more Asian-y resume than that.
Well, no, wait a minute. Map of the Sounds of Tokyo? She did. I think. Or Tokyo Serendipity?
Are you making these up? Tokyo Serendipity. That's Tokyo like another movie with just a word tacked in front of it.
Yeah, she was in Mike Yokohama, A Force with No Name. She's done a lot of very wide.
She's got a career that I'm trying to get right now.
Samurai Detective. What else could she have?
She in Samurai Detergent? Samurai. Was she the insurgent detergent of samurais?
Yeah, she was the insurgent detergent of the samurais. the Lost Sushi Stories.
Oh my God, that's good. And then there's a gong at the end. It's just, the movie's just called Gong. She was in that.
Yeah,
she was in Gong.
Right? She was. She co-produced the Kabuki Saga, and
So now she's stretching her wings with Kumiko. Kumiko,
the treasure hunter.
She's really stretching far. She's really trying she's really trying to break that pattern.
She is.
Kumiko.
Thank you. She does the peace sign photo.
Konnichiwa. And
treasure hunter.
It's just her running around with a selfie stick the whole time. So check out.
Okay.
So konnichiwa on that, guys. Check out Kumiko. Treasure hunter.
Now the site spotlight / fan feedback. I got a nice email from Rich Conroy, who was like, you know, we were trying to find that Herbie the Love Bug TV movie remake. He found it on Wikipedia. You actually have to look it up on Wikipedia. It's we couldn't find it on IMDb. And I forgot about this, too. It was like, it's not available on DVD. You can't find it. Bruce Campbell stars in it. Dana Gould is in it. And I forgot it has an evil car in it. They make an evil version of Herbie that like has to race against him. It's like an evil devil car.
1997, The Love Bug, directed by Peyton Reed.
So it's one of those movies. Okay. Good luck finding it, but it's really like Jeff Garland does a cameo in it. It's really crazy. If you can catch it somewhere, I don't know where
you would find it.
This
is the same director that did Bring It On.
No way.
Yep. He also directed the Upright Citizens Brigade TV show, and he directed Mr. Show.
Let me be clear. It's not a bad movie. It's not like the Lindsay Lohan Fully Loaded one. It was actually a really nice kind of tribute, like Dean Jones makes a cameo in it to the actual series, like from the 60s. And Bruce Campbell does a great job in it, and Dana Gould does a great job in it. So if you can find it, check it out. But thank you, Rich Conroy, for finding the Wikipedia entry on it.
You guys are phenomenal detectives. Yeah. You search down the Bruce Campbell, The Love Bug.
And I want to mention, too, the horror film It Follows is out right now, and Neil thought it was fantastic. There's a review on the site right now, and it's a crazy kind of like The Ring-type movie, but with sex. Like, it's a curse. Like, if you have sex with someone, you pass along that curse, and then something eventually follows that person unless you have sex with someone else. And it's like that creepy, unsettling kind of horror movie. Neil thought it was great. But then the trick is, too, like, they figured out all the mythology. What if that person dies? Then the curse works backwards. It comes back after you again.
Right. So you just have to be really slutty.
Yes. And then you'll be fine.
Sex with a lot of people.
Pour yourself around, guys.
Yep. And then the other thing I want to mention is Neil also did a nice written review of Chappie. And he made a very, very specific point to mention that he was one of those few times he agreed 100% with both you and I on the film, and also angry at us for not knowing who D. Antwoord was, the rap rave band that was in the book.
And I got a couple of those on Twitter and Facebook.
And I actually looked up, I wanted to see, well, what's the pronunciation properly? And here's the great thing. No one can agree on the exact pronunciation of the American. Like, you put it up on YouTube, like, a couple things come up, and they all sound different. Like, it's Die Antwoord or D. Antwoord. And in the comment sections, everyone's arguing about the pronunciation.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
God.
It's like, well, this is the American pronunciation. And then somebody comments back, what the fuck are you talking about? What American pronunciation? They're South African words. Why would there be a correct American pronunciation of this? So it's great. In fact, it's very entertaining to read the comment thread of how to pronounce Die Antwoord or D. Antwoord. But one of the things I want to mention to the fans, too, we did get a little heat for that. You remember, here are two guys who didn't know how to pronounce the rapper Nas's name. So this should not surprise anyone that we did not know.
Yeah, these you guys can't see, but these guys are white.
Yeah,
we're I mean, they are white.
Kumiko, white. The treasure hunter. Sayonara, Kumiko.
Neil made a good point, too. He goes, when your kids are older, you'll know who all these bands are. Like, yeah, I know who Meghan Trainor is because of my daughter, but she's 10. So I think as she discovers these bands, I will know who they are as well.
I don't want to know who they are. Yeah. How's that sound? I want my kids to know who Toshino Mifune is. Toshiro Mifune. Fuck that name up, too.
A noble goal for the samurai detective.
You attempted.
Samurai detective. Detective inspective. Rejected. All right. I want to throw another quick response to Chappie here. I was actually talking to J.B. Updike, who does our ad sales and is a longtime friend. He said to me after Chappie, he goes, I was just listening to the Chappie episode. And he goes, the things we thought about Chappie, the problems with Chappie, he had those problems with District 9. He goes, I couldn't get on board with District 9 for the same...
Because it had a weird rap rave band.
Yeah, that's exactly why. So, no, but he just said, like, we thought it was good design, but the story and the characters fell apart. That's what he felt about District 9.
Interesting.
Which is an interesting thing. So, obviously, guys, love hearing your feedback on all this, and great detective work on the love bug.
Yeah.
Send us more of this. We love this. We love these discussions. So, and we love doing the fan feedback and giving you guys shout outs and all that stuff.
And check out the site too. There's a lot of great content on the site that you guys can read, the reviews and stuff that we don't talk about necessarily on the podcast,
sure.
Or different perspectives on what we talk about.
You guys can have a Die Antwoord off.
Yeah.
And also
Die Antwoord.
Yeah.
And the message boards, that's...
Yeah, here's the deal with the message boards. Look, I'm going to be honest with you guys. We've had a lot of trouble with the site
God
and the message boards
it.
Lately. They're all WordPress issues. Everything's working. You can log in. It's a little... unintuitive right now. Like, it kind of bounces you, like it may not direct you directly to the message boards when you log in. So just if you guys could just be a little more patient as we kind of get all these extra bugs worked out. Now, I will say the cart is on a completely different system. The cart's fine. It's stable. There's nothing wrong with the cart. It's just the WordPress part with the message boards is a little wonky, but it is working. You can log in. You can post. One of the things I did want to mention, speaking of the cart, is we are now carrying Larry Miller's book.
Yeah.
And
awesome.
And it's actually it's a little expensive because they're hardcover, but they're also very limited. You can't buy them anymore. They're out of print. And we have the only signed copies of them everywhere.
Yep.
So if you're a Larry Miller fan and you want a signed copy of his book, we're the only place in town that you could get it.
That was cool.
And you also get a free Larry Miller Drinking Society cart.
There you go. It was awesome. So that's our show. Helen, where can the fine people find you on the internet? So you got any live shows coming up?
I do have a bunch of live shows coming up in the greater Los Angeles area.
With D. Antwoord, right?
excuse me, it's Die Antwoord. D. Antwoord. Maybe it's like a cadence thing, my D. Antwoord. Check it out, helenhong.com, or you can follow me on all the social media platforms at Funny Helen Hong.
Nice.
All right.
Guys, if you haven't checked her out, please do. She's hilarious. The show we did last month was great.
It was great.
She's worth following, so check all that stuff out. Let's see. What do I got going on? I'm home for a while, working on some top secret stuff, some top secret show business.
And earbuds.
And earbuds. That's what I'm doing.
We're working on a fair amount of earbuds right now.
I got food poisoning last week, so I've fallen a little behind on watching footage, but the editors and everybody, Chris and everybody's taking care of that, so I'll be watching a lot of footage. Yes. That's what I will be doing. Catching up. If you need me, I'll be in my apartment.
There's a lot of good stuff coming up, too. There's like the Mike Schmidt segments are fantastic. To hear the stuff you should know, guys, talking about doing like a live show because they're not live performers. Mm-hmm. To hear that perspective of like, we didn't know what to expect. People like wanted our autographs and waited for an hour to talk to us after the show. And, you know, these are, you know, science TV guys. And now they're being treated like rock stars after a live show. It was really cool. So there's a lot of really great stuff that we're going to put together and make a movie.
Yeah. Watching the footage has just been, has been really cool seeing, you know, some of the stuff with, like, again, all the Mike Schmidt stuff was great. The stuff with, I've been watching a lot of the stuff from the festival that we shot, which will make up a good part of Act Three. And hearing the fan reactions to watching Mike, and also the Sanai stuff, and seeing Sanai and Vanessa and Aaron. I was watching the time all you guys meeting again. That was really cool. And it's interesting watching that footage now with some distance from when it happened. I'm seeing different things and hearing different things and seeing, there's just a lot of great stuff. There's just a lot of great stuff. So I'm very,
that's one of the reasons it's taking longer.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot to sift through.
Well, we should be premiering it at PodFest this year.
That's what we're hoping. Absolutely.
September 18th through the 20th. Mm-hmm. So yeah, guys, LAPodFest.com. Tickets are available. Discount hotel rooms are available. September 18th through the 20th. We're already starting to make offers out to some big shows. And as soon as we get people locked down, we'll start announcing
who's going to be there.
But we can guarantee that The Dollop and Comedy Film Nerds and Probably Science will all be in the festival.
Yes. Done deal.
I Don't Ever Not Funny. Yeah, I can. They're in.
We're having Jackie back too.
Jackie's back. It'll be good stuff, guys. So check it out. And I think that's it.
All right. One thing I wanted to mention to Podcast San Diego, that's March 28th. I will be the closing keynote speaker there. And they've been really cool. They were able to give me a couple of comps to give to you guys to come down. And you guys have been taking us up on that offer.
Oh, great.
But what they also did is now for every Comedy Film Nerds listener, they're giving us a coupon code. You can get half off the entire thing, and that's unlimited. So we'll post that code on the Facebook page, so if you want to go and you know you weren't able to get one of the free ones, we can give you half off, and that's unlimited. So you can even get that the day before if you like, and still go and still get the half off.
All right, cool, guys. Well, that's our show. Thank you so much, Helen Hall.
Thank you. That was fun.
Yes, it was good. It was good insurgent detergent.
Good insurgent detergent.
Really good insurgent detergent today. Hashtag work.
It gets out even the toughest stains.
It gets out the toughest of boring scripts. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you for listening and supporting the show. Don't forget audiblepodcast.com/CFN for free audiobook and 30-day trial. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Replicant.
Detergent.